your Coca-Cola bottler presents Claudia, based on the famous play and novels by Rose Franken. Brought to you, transcribed Monday through Friday, by your friendly neighbor who bottles Coca-Cola. Relax, and while you're listening, refresh yourself. Have a Coke. And now, Claudia.
La, 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 la.
Good morning, Mrs. Brown. Why, your coffee smells perfectly wonderful.
Thank you so very much, Mrs. Norton, for those few kind words.
Oh, David will be down in a minute. I'll set the table.
That's all set.
Where? I don't see.
In the dining room.
And since when do we eat breakfast in the dining room on Gertrude's day off? What's the matter? Isn't the kitchen good enough for you?
I thought with Jeffrey being here, it'd be so crowded. He's such a big, tall fellow.
Yes, children do seem to grow bigger these days than they used to, don't they? Oh, here, let me squeeze the orange juice.
16 isn't a child, exactly.
Mm.
But I know what you mean. I've noticed it myself. No pits, if you don't mind, in the orange juice.
You see too much. Do you think our child will?
Will what?
Be tall. I'd love to have a tall son.
You'll take what you get, tall or short, and you'll like it. After all, David isn't a giant, and neither are you.
David is 6 feet.
But just an ordinary, nice 6 foot. You wouldn't single him out in a crowd.
I hope you mean that as a compliment.
I do.
But Roger isn't as tall as David, and look at Jeffrey.
Isn't Mrs. Killian tall?
You know, I've never met Jeff's mother. I haven't the least idea what she's like.
Funny, isn't it? I mean, with David and Roger partners, you've never met his wife.
Yes, you'd think she'd have us for dinner or something. Except they live in a hotel and she's hardly ever home.
She sounds very social.
Well, it's not that so much. She's very public-spirited, you know. Oh. Political meetings and things of that sort. And I'm just as glad we've never met her. She's given me an inferiority complex.
That's what she's given Jeff, I imagine.
Oh, David, you scared the life out of me. That is a nasty thing to do, eavesdrop.
I wasn't eavesdropping. I merely walked into the kitchen looking for my breakfast.
It's in the dining room.
Oh.
Mama has to go and put on airs on Gertrude's day off.
Oh, I forgot about it being Gertrude's day off. Say, will Jeff be an awful nuisance to you?
Nonsense.
Of course not. We have to eat, too, don't we?
Well, he's a pretty big fella to have underfoot.
Oh, he won't be underfoot. He'll be working outdoors. That was the point of his being here, remember?
That's not very nice to put your guest to doing chores.
That's the best thing for him. Say, look, does Mother know about Jeff, Claudia?
Ooh, well, it was so late when we got home last night, I haven't said anything.
I think it would be better if she knew. After all, this is in the nature of a problem that the three of us will have to handle as long as he's here.
I had an idea something was wrong with the boy the minute I saw him. He seemed so unhappy and remote, not a bit like a youngster.
He's got quite a bit to be unhappy about, Mother. He's been expelled from school for cheating on exams.
Oh.
Mama's shocked.
Well, not so much shocked as sorry. I think there's a reason if a thing like that happens to a nice person. He must be a nice person. You can see that just to look at his face. So sensitive and vulnerable.
Good for you, Mother. I was afraid you'd be a little straight-laced and old-fashioned.
Seeing as I never cheated when I was young.
You never had to. I didn't care particularly what your marks were in school. That's where I was old-fashioned. As long as you ate a good breakfast and stayed healthy and happy, I didn't care very much whether you got an A or a D.
So I got a D. Once I got an A, though.
I don't believe it.
Yes, I did. I failed in math, but I got an A in English. What exam did Jeffrey? I mean,
I didn't ask him. We hadn't talked about it.
Maybe he'll sort of unburden to Mama and me. Being women, he might.
He might, but I wouldn't count on it. Suppose I go up and see if he's ready for breakfast.
I think you better. I haven't heard a sound from his room.
I'll begin the pancakes.
Pancakes? That's more than you ever did for your son-in-law.
Didn't know you liked them.
I don't. I have to be careful of my girlish figure.
Oh, so do I, Mama. All you've done is to fill us both with conflict.
You don't have to eat them. They're for Jeffrey.
My, my. The minute there's a strange man around, you just try to make up to him. I never saw anything like it. How do you know he likes pancakes?
I've never heard of a 16-year-old boy who didn't. Get the maple syrup out of the closet.
I'm glad you made them, Mama. If I'd have known how, I would have, too. Mama, you know, I think we can do a lot for Jeffrey.
How? Oh.
Well, he's had so little home life. I think his mother's been too busy with her own affairs even to talk to him, much less try to draw him out and find out what's going on inside of him.
It won't be easy for either of his parents to accept what's happened. It's not a pleasant thing to have your only child expelled from school in disgrace.
I know it isn't. You must know it. I've always detested a cheat. I had quite a little battle with myself before I could really feel the same toward Jeffrey as I did before.
That's natural.
You too?
Yes.
Huh. We're both rather noble, aren't we? I wonder if David has any reservations.
If he does, he doesn't show it.
Do we show it?
A little.
How?
Being just a shade too nice. David's more natural. He just accepts the boy.
I get it. No pancakes.
Exactly. No pancakes.
But I still think the pancakes were a wonderful idea. They can work wonders. Here's David. Now, is Jeffrey up yet?
Up and gone.
Up and gone? Where?
Just gone.
Oh, don't take it so lightly. Was his bed slept in?
Oh, of course.
Really slept in or just mussed up?
Is there a difference?
Certainly is.
Say, what are you two women driving at?
David, you don't think he...
Oh, he what?
David's right. He wouldn't be that silly.
You read a lot of things in newspapers. Young people get despondent and desperate. It's easy enough to say things like that don't happen after they happen.
David, is the car in the garage?
Yes, I checked.
You're not so strong-minded yourself. You had the same idea.
That nonsense.
Where do you think he is?
Wherever he is, he'll come back. Let's eat.
And not wait for him?
I don't see much point to it. He mightn't show up for an hour or more.
Oh, very well. We'll start frying the pancakes. The griddle's hot enough. The batter's just right.
I don't know what we'd do without you, Mama. I'll get the syrup and put it on the dining room table. David hardly touched his pancakes. It wasn't because of his shape, either.
He's a little worried about Jeffrey, but he doesn't want to show it.
I'll wash and you dry him.
I'll do both. You go along with David.
He's working in his study. No sense of his doing outdoor stuff with Jeffrey not here. Well, after all, it is something to worry about, Mama. The boy is our responsibility with his father in Chicago and his mother off heaven knows where. They don't even know that Jeffrey's left school.
I wonder if David's right in not going out to look for him.
He says he doesn't want to make it seem that important to Jeff. He says if he doesn't come back by lunch, it's time enough to begin to think what to do about it.
What's Bluff barking about?
I don't know. I'll look out the window and see. He's just barking, that's all. Hey, wait a minute. He sees somebody. It's Jeff. He's just coming out of the woodland from the brook.
I guess the dog doesn't know him yet.
Jeff isn't even patting him. He's stalking along with his head down. It's unnatural for a boy of 16 not to pay any attention to a Great Dane.
The whole situation isn't exactly natural.
He's coming in the kitchen way. Let's just act as if nothing's happened. Oh, I feel so sorry for him, really.
Set a place right here. It'll make him feel at home.
Wonder if he drinks coffee. Probably want milk. Oh, I hope so. There's no coffee left.
I'll make him whatever he wants. Cocoa, probably.
That's a good idea. Oh, hello, Jeff.
Good morning, Mrs. Norton.
Good morning, Jeff. You were up nice and early.
Good morning, Mrs. Brown. I hope you didn't wait breakfast.
Nope, we didn't, but everything's ready. Cocoa or milk? Or coffee?
Nothing, thank you.
But you have to drink something with your pancakes. Would you like some tea?
No, thank you. I'm not hungry.
You mean you're not going to eat anything?
I'm not hungry.
Oh, such nice pancakes with syrup. The grill's all hot and ready for them.
I couldn't eat anything, please.
You can't go out and work on an empty stomach.
Oh, it isn't a good day for working outside. It's begun to rain a little.
It has? Oh, dear, these April showers that come in June. I want my money back.
You'll get it all back in this merry month of June with your roses. Do you like gardening, Jeff?
No, I don't think so.
Have you ever done any of it?
No.
Oh, maybe you wouldn't hate it if you tried it. Jeff, won't you change your mind about some breakfast? It might make you feel better.
I feel all right. I'm just not hungry.
Well, David's working in his study. I'll call him, and maybe he'll have something in mind you can do in the barn.
I'd rather not, if you don't mind.
Say, Jeff, did you ever curry a dog? Bluff is shedding something awful, and we just haven't had time to give him a good brushing.
I don't think he likes me.
Of course he does. Why, even Shakespeare likes you.
Shakespeare doesn't take very many people. Look how he's making up to Jeff.
I don't know anything about cats. We never had a cat.
What kind of dogs did you have?
Well, I never had a dog. We lived in a hotel mostly. Animals aren't allowed in the hotel.
No, it is a little difficult, I guess.
Did you have a pleasant walk, Jeff?
Well, didn't go far.
Didn't you go down to the brook? It's lovely.
No, I just walked a little. If you don't mind, I think... That is, if you'll excuse me, could I go up to my room?
Yes, if you want, but... Why don't you stay down here and talk to Mama a minute while I run up and make your bed?
That isn't necessary, Mrs. Norton. I can make my bed. We always made our beds at school.
Oh. But I don't mind, really.
I'd rather make it, and please don't bother with any lunch for me.
Now, what do you want to do, starve yourself?
I thought I'd take a little walk later. I'll stop off on the road someplace for a sandwich. I'm accustomed to taking care of myself. Please don't fuss about me, Mrs. Norton.
I won't.
He's not going to give us a chance to, that's plain.
I feel sort of silly. All dressed up in pretty speeches and good intentions. No place to go.
So do I. One thing I've learned, the way to a boy's heart is not through his stomach.
At least not when he's 16 and hurt. Mama, frankly, I don't know the way to a boy's heart. I feel a total failure as a mother and a psychologist.
I don't feel too bright about it myself. I think the best thing to do is just let him alone.
I'm sure of it. Better tell David he's back.
And you better let him handle Jeff from here on out.
I will. David.
Yes, dear?
I won't disturb you, but I just wanted to tell you Jeff's home.
No, I know.
How'd you know?
I heard the dog bark.
He wouldn't eat any breakfast. Jeff, I mean.
Well, I didn't think he would.
He said he didn't want any lunch.
Oh, he'll eat. Eventually.
He just went back up to his room. He wouldn't even let me make up his bed.
Darling, I'm sorry he's a pain in the neck. I was afraid he would be. You'll just have to take it in your stride.
David, he's not the pain in the neck. I am. Oh, I could have murdered me if I was him. I was so darn nice and understanding. If I was a boy of 16 and I was as sweet to me as I was to him, fooey.
Your pronouns seem a little confused, but I get the general gist of what you mean. You know something?
What, darling?
I've just discovered that you're going to make a swell mother.
These first fine June days invite anyone who can to set the luncheon table out of doors. Now, I'm going to make a further suggestion. Make it a party luncheon, but make it simple. Have a salad or sandwiches ready, reach into the refrigerator for ice-cold Coca-Cola, and you're all set. That's the smart way to lunch any day of the week. For Coke makes good food taste even better. It enables both you and your guests to lunch refreshed.
Mr. King, have you had any experience with young gentlemen of 16?
Well, can't say I have, Mrs. Brown.
That's too bad. I think a little experience in this household might come in handy.
Jeffrey is quite a handful, isn't he?
That's because he's unhappy and mixed up. If one of us could reach, get inside of him where his unhappiness is, we might be able to help him.
Well, maybe tomorrow we'll show you the way.
I hope so, for his sake.
As well as for yours.
Maybe I can think of something by tomorrow.
And maybe David will. Anyway, I'll be around to find out.
See you then. Goodbye, Mr. King.
Goodbye, Mrs. Brown. As I was about to say, every day, Monday through Friday, Claudia comes to you transcribed with the best wishes of your friendly neighbor who bottles Coca-Cola. So listen again tomorrow at the same time. And now this is Joe King saying au revoir. And remember, whoever you are, whatever you do, wherever you may be, when you think of refreshment, think of Coca-Cola. For Coca-Cola makes any pause the pause that refreshes. And ice-cold Coca-Cola is everywhere. This broadcast of Claudia was supervised and directed by William Brown Maloney. And now here's a word from your friendly neighbor who bottles Coca-Cola.